This is John in Toronto.
And this is Ron from Long Island, New York.
And you're listening to the Film Photography Forecast. This is episode number 5. And Ron, I guess we both had life catch up to us in the last few days, which explains why our schedule got a bit out of kilter.
Yes, unfortunately, we did have a few episodes take place, which kind of set us back slightly.
But the good news is that we have a lot of stuff recorded and in the can, so we're not going anywhere. And today's guest is a woman that we interviewed, I guess, a few weeks ago now. Her name is Indra Moonen, and she is better known as Contrastique on the interwebs. She's a young photographer who lives in Maastricht in the Netherlands, beautiful city, or beautiful town, rather. I was there last summer. And Ron, I think she's the perfect person to have on the show.
I definitely agree with you.
And one thing we mention a couple of times is that a lot of people, particularly some of the digital purists, have this vision of analog shooters as white-haired peoples in their 60s and 70s who, you know, who are just dinosaurs grimly hanging on.
Right.
But Contrastique is one of a new generation of photographers who are discovering the magic and beauty of analog.
Yep. No, yeah, I definitely appreciated that aspect, you know, to find someone in their 20s that definitely took the analog route. Always appreciate that.
So why don't we jump right to the interview with Indra?
Perfect. Let's get going.
And today, all the way from Maastricht in the Netherlands, we have Indra Moonen. Indra, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Indra, you're a young photographer, and I was looking at your the Contrastique website, and I was really struck by the older techniques you use, in particular the your wet plate photography, the lithe printing. When you're using these old techniques, what are you aiming to achieve, and what has your experience been so far, and how do these techniques help you achieve your vision as an artist?
Well, I use the collodion because I think it's an interesting process. It's a beautiful process working with because it's so slow. You have to really think about the image before making it, and you shoot one image at a time, and you have to think about it very carefully before you do something. And that is more attractive to me than shooting digital or using film, because then you have 36 exposures on a roll of film, and well, collodion is just much slower to work with. Also, the chemical mixing, you're not dependent of chemical companies who mix the chemicals for you, like Agfa or Kodak. You just make it yourself, and that's really interesting and fun to do.
What do you have to go through to do a wet plate collodion print?
Once you mix the chemistry, it's actually pretty simple. You set up your studio with lighting and everything, and you get the camera ready. Whatever you shoot, you just make sure it's in focus. Then you start preparing the plate, which you do with collodion first. You just pour up a layer of collodion on the plate. Then you put it in a silver bath, which makes it sensitive to light. It'll take about 2 minutes to prep it. After that is done, you put the plate in the camera, you make the photo, and then you develop and rinse the plate and fix it, of course. And then you have your image.
Is the pouring the most difficult part?
It requires some technique and experience to do it properly, yeah. But in the end, it's pretty easy when you get the hang of it.
And I believe to develop the plate, it develops very quickly underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the developer is a alcohol. No, I have to remember it. No, that ether is part of the collodion. The developer is with iron sulfate. Mm-hmm. And then it takes about 15 minutes to develop the plate, and then you rinse it with water. Then it goes into the fixer, which will ultimately reveal the plate.
And are you then doing contact prints? Are you doing enlargements?
For now, I just work with black glass plates, so I cannot do anything with them. Oh. Once you make the plate, that's it. That's your image.
One image.
Yeah, so you can't reproduce it or, scan it, of course, but
I guess that's all part of the thought process, you know, that you have to look at an image as unique and you're shooting one picture at a time, like you were saying.
Yeah, I love that process. But, well, you know, my first thing that I was first tempted to ask you, I guess the stupid usual question, why someone your age got into standard photography, analog photography, and then go the digital path. But then I was looking at your website under the concept category and I saw your limited statement, and that made perfect sense. So, you know, so I won't go, well, how come you're not a digital photographer? So reading that limited quotation there explained the whole process to me, and I realized I didn't want to be part of the crowd. So it all makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, but I've tried digital. I've worked with digital for 2 or 3 years. You just have to try it out to see what
sure.
it is.
Oh, yeah, we all did, right?
Yeah, I think so. But then it just got boring. You're sitting behind a computer. You're not feeling the image like when you do with analog photography. Right. So that's why I got back to just shooting film first and going to mid-format. That got a bit boring, and then to large format. And then I saw this film on YouTube by Quinn Jacobson showing the collodion process, and that was so impressive. And I was then searching for more information on it, and you know, that's how everything got rolling.
Oh, is that how you found out about APUG during that process?
No, I found out APUG before. Yeah.
Okay.
Just when shooting film.
Okay, because you actually kind of snuck up on me. I just realized one day that you joined my large format group on Long Island.
Yeah.
And so I noticed you joined, and like a few minutes later, John sent me a message that he was interested in interviewing, and I said, okay, perfect. Sounds like the right thing to do.
Yeah. As soon as I saw your work, Indra, I said to Ron, we have to get her on the show.
Well, thank you.
And also because, you know, again, you're a younger person, and unfortunately, and I see this, I think sometimes in the digital crowd, they tend to look at analog photographers as old fuddy-duddies who just haven't joined the modern world.
Yeah. People who just got stuck in the past and, dusty old people. Yeah.
So it's really, well, some of us are, but...
Wow. That's great knowledge. That's what the younger generation is not able to say. I mean, I think that knowledge has become less in real what photography is about. I mean, if you ask people what ASA is, they are like, okay, I don't know what that is. And that's a shame.
Yeah, for some reason, I still go around using ASA as my expression. So I haven't gotten to this ISO thing yet, these newfangled statements.
I've been training myself to say ISO instead of ASA, but yeah, I'm of the ASA generation. What camera do you use for your wet plate?
At first I used an old wooden camera, which is actually from around the time the process existed. It's around 1860. I don't know the exact time. There's no brand on the camera or any hints on who made it. It's a French model probably, though, European. And I bought it at a fair in France. And recently I had a camera made by Black Art Woodcraft. They make cameras for collodion and all the other stuff you need. And it's actually a new camera, big wood camera.
Is that the one you're posing with on the website?
No, that's a different one. That just uses negatives, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. What size camera is that?
It's an 8x10.
Oh, that's a beautiful camera.
Yeah, it is.
Is it difficult at all to get the chemicals and materials needed?
No, not at all. No. I have a VAT number, so it's really easy to get in contact with big companies that just sell the chemicals raw. So it's really easy. Once you know what you need, and then you just have to order it online and wait for it to arrive.
I'm glad to hear it. I think sometimes in North America, you know, you go to somewhere and say you want to buy chemicals. They look at you and think, you know, you're going to build a bomb or something.
Yeah, a bit too panicky over there, maybe.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, should we talk about the lith printing as well? And how did you get started with lith printing?
Good question. I think something I saw on the internet as well, maybe APUG, some photos, and I was interested by the results. It's a pretty easy start out with a different process than what you're used to with normal black and white printing. And if you want to take it further, it gets more difficult, but it's easy to step in to that.
Okay.
I like the results a lot.
And how do they fit in with your artistic vision?
I'm just sort of still figuring that out. I'm working on finding good negatives to print with that, because not every photo is suitable for it. And I'm just finding my way in that. Recently, I printed a series of Barcelona, the Sagrada Familia.
I saw them. Beautiful images.
With that, it just works. And with other photo, we have to select the photos to print on lith.
And when you select the negatives, in addition to subject matter, do you find from a technical point of view that some negatives are better than others?
Well, I'm still undergoing that. But yeah, if you have little contrast in the negative, it gets harder to print it properly. But it's also depending on the paper you use, and it's a large variety of variables, actually, that have influence on the process. So it's, I still find it difficult to say which is really good for lith and what is not.
Are you finding it's easy to get the chemicals and material you need?
Yeah. Yeah, I work in a Photoshop, so I have access to everything. I can find what I need very easily. And if I don't find it, I go search on the internet. APOC is really cool for that.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and with internet, Facebook is handy. You meet people who will open doors for you. So it's, that's great about the digital age then.
And how old were you when you got started in photography?
18.
When you got the interest, 18? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you start off with digital at that point or just analog?
No analog photography, just black and white. Yeah. Boy.
It's amazing that someone so young just found film so fast.
Yeah, I'm happy I found it so young.
I'm happy you did.
And how did you happen to start off with film instead of digital? Did someone, were you thinking of getting a digital camera, but then someone said, oh, you should try film? Or were you seeing the analog film work of others?
It was actually a funny story. I was never really into photography. I was I like to paint, but what I had in my head, I couldn't produce on a paper. So when I finished high school, I had to study something. And via, I came to a photography class. I was, okay, let's try that. And I did. And I was very happy. And we learned photography using black and white film. So I never learned to start with anything else than that. So that's a bit of the... Yeah, to start in film.
Excellent.
Are there other alternative analog processes that you haven't tried yet that you're thinking about trying?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. There's a bunch I would like to try. Too many for now, even. Different printing processes I would like to use for my negatives. Bromo oil. It looks fantastic. I saw the process not too long ago and I was really impressed. What else? Palladium printing is also very beautiful. There are really lots of processes I would like to try. So I'm pretty glad I'm young, so I have the time to to search through all that's out there.
Are you trying to say it's too late for us old geezers?
No. They have lots more experience than I am. So.
Have you ever thought of trying things like cyanotype or Van Dyke printing?
No, the Van Dyke printing sounds interesting as well. I forgot about that one. The cyanotype, well, no, I'm not interested in that. The blue gets boring, I think. It's so obvious. Yeah. You see them. That's the process you see so often. It doesn't really, crave my interest.
I guess for the occasional image, but...
Yeah, but not for like a broad range.
Looking at your work, I can definitely see how the Van Dyke process would really fit in.
Yeah.
With your style.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I still have to read up on that, and there's so many interesting things.
Oh, it's so good to be young, though. So many years ahead of you.
Yeah, luckily.
So as far as the analog community, though, are you in contact with a lot of analog photographers, or... You have a good support network of analog friends and associates?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, good. Yeah. People okay, who so inspire.
As long as you're not the oddball, I guess, right?
No, you just find your people. I have to say it's pretty much a virtual community because around me in my personal life, there are not many people who shoot film or even further with different analog techniques. There are a couple, but not very many people.
Do you find that you have to justify or defend your choice of analog? That do people say, why aren't you shooting modern equipment?
Maybe sometimes they just, some people don't understand why I go through so much trouble to make an image.
Yeah.
Well, there's always, painters still exist, even though you can paint with Photoshop, but real painters still exist. I mean, I think that's kind of the same thing.
Sure.
We spoke with another photographer recently who told us a story that he was out with his view camera or his field camera shooting something, and he was under the hood and someone came up and said, "Why are you shooting with that old camera?" And he holds up a point and shoot digital, says, "A camera like this will do much better."
Yes,
they're
indeed.
I've never had that. I went outside with my big camera, and then people are all looking like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" And I have my dark room outside as well for the collodion. They just stare. And some people know the process and actually come up to me and like, "Hey, is that really a collodion plate?" And that's pretty much fun. But I've never had someone coming up to me with a point and shoot and say, "Hey, this is better than, your technique is obsolete." So
yeah. It must be exciting when people come up and say and take a real interest in the old techniques.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Even more surprised when they actually know the technique. That's quite remarkable. And you get this real interesting conversations.
Are you also involved in, teaching and giving workshops?
Not yet, really. I would like to investigate that further. I would like to share my knowledge with other people. Also working on the idea of setting up a public darkroom /studio/exhibition room, but it's pretty expensive, I think, getting the building up and running, and so I'm not sure how to go there, but I would like to do that in the future.
That's the tough thing. It's a shame that so many people, they only see photographs on a computer screen.
Yeah.
They don't see them in real life, and I think especially for the analog and alternative processes in real life, that's where you really have to see the image to get a full experience of it. But it's expensive to do.
Yeah. So we'll just see what the future will bring.
I was reading one of your posts this morning that you wanted to print some work fairly, fairly large, but then the framing gets expensive.
Yeah, that's the the most horrid thing, yeah.
That's why.
I have not printed that big yet.
Someone needs to design a frame that is inexpensive but doesn't look expensive.
Exactly. Well, maybe they're out there, but I haven't seen them yet. Could be as well.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. Unless there's a Home Depot nearby.
I was in Maastricht last summer, and I don't remember seeing any Home Depots.
That's probably a good thing. And as far as the photographic community, though, have you introduced APUG to any of your other associates? Or
yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
We're in Photoshop, so when people come along and they want to know more about analog photography, or they buy cameras and you know that they're pretty new, and I just write down APUG.org and give it to them and say, "Hey, man, you can find everything there if you want." And well, I hope that they take the advice.
Okay. No, sure.
People are lucky to have a Photoshop where someone understands the analog process. And I'd say, at least in Toronto where I am, if you go into most camera stores and and everything is just digital. They might have a dusty package of D76, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, well,
a lot of shops just went down because of digital arrived, and that's really too bad.
It's a sad situation. And unfortunately, the few times I go into a store to buy some film, it's always, they all try to bombard you with the digital equipment anyhow to try to convert you. But unfortunately, that's not happening anymore. So, well, actually, one question I forgot to ask. What are you doing to celebrate Worldwide Pinhole Day?
Nothing, actually. I never used pinhole. It's one of the really simple things I've never tried, actually.
Oh, there you go. Well, I just saw that you're on Facebook also. So if you put in pinhole, you'll come across the link to
I've heard about it.
Pinhole Day. And we're actually planning on doing two programs in April around Pinhole Day. So yeah, it'd be great if you could take a couple of images and we can include that also on our program. Yeah.
I'll check it out.
It'd be excellent.
I've never done pinhole either, Indra, but Ron is pushing me into it, so I'll have to put together some kind of pinhole camera and take a picture.
Well, luckily, they're pretty simple.
Oh, yeah. That's the one good thing about it.
And I've got this huge long roll now of photo paper, so I've got lots of stuff to try.
Oh, stop bragging, John.
Well, Indra, it's been great talking with you, and thank you very much for being on the show.
Well, thank you too for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
And we'd definitely love to hear from you in the future. And, well, in the next few days would also help. You can send us your messages to ron@thephotographyforecast.com. And we'll look over the messages. And, you know, we're always looking for new ideas. If we asked any questions that you might have an answer for, or if you need an answer yourself, send us a message. We'll see what we can do for you.